The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat. It's where it's at.
5:23, Mark and Paul getting ready for the day ahead. Mark is. Paul's fighting with the equipment this morning.
Wilson, what? I'm having trouble. I got to warm my coffee up.
I'm hearing some bad words coming out of the newsroom, and things aren't printing, and I didn't want that, and I can only relate. Thoroughly enjoyed watching a little bit of news this morning and seeing how the Northeast has gotten winter this year like we usually get. Parts of Rhode Island got 38 inches of snow, and here it's nice and dry, 38 degrees, going to be 54 today, upper 50s the next couple of days. A little windy, but that's part of what comes with living here. So, and for the next week or so, other than some wind, it's going to be nice. So that is a good thing. Well, got a message from my friend Darlene, who messages me every time we play a Neil Diamond song. She loves Neil Diamond. And I sort of thought Neil Diamond was okay, but you know the whole thing growing up where you just think you're not going to like your folks' music. And my dad brought that Forever in Blue Jeans album home and played it on our stereo, and I'm like, my dad likes some cool music.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, dads can be cool once in a while.
Once in a while.
You know.
Once in a while.
That was that his last hit?
I would have to look and see, Paul. I don't know.
Probably was.
Yeah.
Because that was before he did like the after he did like the jazz singer.
Yeah.
The Star Is Born stuff.
Right.
Oh my God, how many guys out there have heard "You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore"? Oh my God. Huh, Wilson?
Oh, his last number one hit was Song Sung Blue in 72.
Oh, wow.
But his last duet was You Don't Bring Me Flowers. And his last top 40 hit was in 1986, Headed for the Future. But it only went to 53. And then, like so many, many of the people in pop and rock, he did a country album. I think he even did a duet with Waylon Jennings on there. So, and I was working in country stations then, and we didn't play it. So I know it didn't do very well. Paul looked up a guy yesterday we were playing, and we're playing all these new people. And, of course, Paul and I have no input in the music after 10. That's all programmed corporately. But was it Cade McNown?
Yeah.
Got famous. Paul looked it up. He got famous on TikTok.
Yeah, He was playing out in Oregon on the piers.
Yeah.
He'd sit out there with his guitar, probably a bucket in front of him with his army jacket. And he was playing on piers.
Uh-huh.
And then he put a couple of his songs on TikTok. And they did well on TikTok, so we added him to our playlist.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, folks, everybody that does listens to that music on TikTok, they're all in school that time of day anyway. They can't even listen to the radio.
Right.
So, but, Wilson, that's the biz now.
It is.
You know?
It is. We're dinosaurs. I get it.
That's the biz. Money talk.
Okay. Here's a little bit of that Headed for the Future. See, it had that 80s sound to it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Everybody got into the synthesizers.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Okay.
Now.
Yep.
Money
talk. Billings West won both the boys and girls games last night. Billings West boys beat Skyview 47-38.
Oh, wow.
I'll say that for us, when we were the Cat Country All-Stars basketball team and we played City League, we never slowed it down in any type of defensive battle.
No.
We shot that ball as fast as we could shoot it. Well, Q2 did a story on your wrestler marriage proposal.
Oh,
you know, when I'm out after work, I go places and have lunch, and that was the most commented thing yesterday for people that were listening. All in agreement with you.
Too young.
Yeah, but it's your life, and you get to figure it out.
That's right. And it's one of the freedoms we have. Parents have the right to parent their children how they want to parent their children.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are perfect. We've all have stories of where we mess something up.
One of my favorite sayings to quote myself about parenting, I am the best parent I ever met until I had a kid. It's yep. easy to coach it.
Yep.
It's hard to play it.
You got that right. You got that right. But that's just too young. And I stand by my guns.
You always do.
And for kids that are only halfway through their senior years to be engaged, and have they picked a date yet? You know, that's always big.
Right.
Good luck finding a venue. But, you know, now that I think about it, it may not be a bad deal, because by the time you find a venue to have a wedding at, you're going to be 25 anyway.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, John and his girlfriend got engaged, and they could not get a venue until... when was it? June of 27.
Roadside Event Center is all booked for graduations this year.
Well, think about it. I don't know how many wedding venues we have in the area. Say we have a dozen. Well, you got about 6 months of the year in Montana when you can have a wedding.
True.
So that gives you 24 weekends. 24 weekends. Times a dozen venues,
mm-hmm.
Times, you know, two nights a weekend, Friday and Saturday night, that doesn't allow too many people to get married.
True.
And it's just tough to get a venue. And but still, getting engaged while you're only halfway through your senior year. And we talked about it yesterday, so there's no reason to talk about it again. But there's so many new things that are going to pop up for both of those individuals in their life between now and when they're 25, and challenges and temptations and all kind of things that are out there. It's going to be tough. You know, I was looking at some of my high school stuff, and I don't know why, but it was because of a reunion or something coming up. But a lot of my buddies and a lot of my friends, not Ho, Dop, or Rosie, but a lot of the other ones, they all married their high school sweethearts that they had when we were in high school, and they got pictures of their families up all over, and I was surprised how many of them married their high school sweethearts.
I would say that is not the norm, but good for them.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw all my buddies, Dan Teakin, Kevin Tully, all these guys that I knew in high school and stuff. I mean, they just... they married their high school sweetheart. And I don't blame them, because they were foxes. You know, back in the 70s. That was it. She's a fox.
She's a fox.
Remember, that's now, I don't know what they are now. Now you wonder whether they have a penis or not.
Yeah.
Anymore. It's crazy. Like, well, I don't want to say it.
I was going to say, I didn't marry my high school sweetheart because she wouldn't go out with me.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway. That's been there, done that. I don't know if you folks stayed up to watch the whole State of the Union address, but it was long, pushing 2 hours, hour and 48 minutes or something like that, I think it was. And hey, look up. Can you look up something for me?
Sure.
Look up estimated how many people watched the State of the Union address. I don't know what it was last night. Maybe I would have guessed. If I'm going to make a guess, I'm going to say 25 million. Maybe watch that address last night. Usually they're pretty quick with the numbers electronically. They can do it now, but probably come in later today, I would imagine, the full Nielsen ratings. But
All I'm finding is how long it was, so maybe the ratings aren't in yet.
Yeah, they're probably not in yet. We'll get them later this morning.
Right.
And it was quite the address last night. And in fact, I've already got something planned for the end of our email segment.
Okay.
This morning. Okay, we usually do that. We usually start that about 7:20 or so, 7:25, depending on how much we yak.
Later.
But or later, whatever. But anyway, if you didn't stay up for the State of the Union. State of the Union address was 10,887 words. Now, normally, it wouldn't take you an hour and 48 minutes to go through that. But there's interruptions, there's applauses, there's recognitions, there's all kinds of stuff to do that. Anyway, if you didn't stay up to watch the very end of his speech, his closing.
Okay.
His closing, I'm estimated here, is probably about 300 words, 250 to 300 words. And it was the most, to me, his closing was the most powerful point of the whole speech. Riveting. Had you glued listening to every word. And this is after an hour and 45 minutes of when you were starting to become bored, you've heard it, and, you know, it's going on and on. But when he started this closing, you hung on to every word in it. And I really think, and I know some of you are going to go, oh, God, you're sick. I think his closing, I think historians someday will view this and say the closing of that State of the Union was one of the most powerful speeches of all time.
Oh, really?
Yes. When you think of like Abe Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, stuff like that, George Washington's final address to Congress, stuff like that. I mean, it's historical. But his closing last night, talking about America, and this is what this closing, out of all the speech, this closing is what America needed to hear. It's what resonated with me. It should be read in every school. It should be read in every classroom. It should be read in every history class, social studies class around America. You teachers should print it, and you should read it to your class today. And so at the end of email, our email segment today, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
It'll probably only take 3 minutes at the most to read it, and I want you to hear it. And I want you to feel it. I want you to listen to how it resonates. I want you to listen to how it's going to make you feel as an American in part of the 250 years of history of our country. If you take anything at all from that speech last night, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. You may have hated every single thing Donald Trump did last night. Everything. You can't stand him. He's a jerk. You didn't vote for him. How's he even president? He's screwing up the country. Blah, blah, this. And even if you felt that way, if you hear or listened or comprehended the last 3 to 4 minutes of that speech, the last 200 to 300 words of that speech, I think it would resonate with you and it would make you think differently about your nation.
Okay.
I'm going to read it at the end of email. I'm not going to read it now. I'll read it at the end of our email segment. But I was just, that's why I was trying to find it and print it over there. And I was having all kind of problems. But as I...
Oh, I heard.
It's God, Wilson. As I was reading it, I mean, even as I was reading it again, I was getting goosebumps. And so anyway, we're going to do that at the end of email segment today. But
neon sign buzzing, lighting up the night. Huntley, Montana, under a sky so tight. Boots on the floor, dust in the air. The Blue Cat's calling, everybody's there. The Blue Cat Bar and Grill, that's where it's at. Cold beer flowing and a jukebox track. Laughter's loud. Cat Bar and Grill.
The Blue Cat Bar and Grill, just 9 miles past the Medford Park exit.
But that speech last night, folks, and I'm 100% honest with you, I felt at times during the speech a little bit he was starting to get a little off track, but then he would regroup, get back on track again, talk about the issues, things that were important. One thing that he did last night, here's the thing. The president last night had a chance, without the media stopping him, they're putting their spin on it, give you his list of accomplishments and his vision for the next year to three, without them interrupting, spinning it, writing about it, influencing tens of millions of Americans with their spin on it. He had that point to sell what they've been doing without interruption. Now, the reason I asked for the numbers is because here's the thing. If there was only, say, 25 to 30 million Americans that saw it, folks, there's 150 million Americans that vote.
Yeah.
So 125 million Americans who vote in federal elections probably didn't even see it. But the spin started immediately after the speech. I told Mark this morning about stocks. And AP this morning said, stock futures are down today after the president's State of the Union address. That's not why stocks go down. Now, yesterday, stocks went up, but they went up on a potential upside for AI. They didn't go up because of the potential State of the Union address last night. See how they do it? It's unbelievable. But anyway, for that hour and 45 minutes, he had uninterrupted time to talk to people and let them know his vision, plans, what we've accomplished, where we want to go. All those kind of things. But I think one of the most pivotal moments last night, I think one of the things he tried to do in his speech and then he accomplished, and you folks may differ, is that he wanted to point out the contrast, the difference between being a conservative, American-loving patriot and being a current Democrat in our Congress, where they stand, what their vision is, and he did a great job pulling out the disparities between the two parties last night, especially this. Mark came in today and said, God, they wouldn't stand for anything. And, you know, and it was just like last year.
There's a lot of them that didn't stand for the hockey team.
Didn't stand.
And the hockey team is not political.
Sports unites America.
It's supposed to.
And that one witch, I forget where she's from. Did you see their little sticker that she had on it said F Trump?
You're kidding.
No, and they showed it right there. They showed it. You know,
classy move from somebody in your position.
And he talked about the fraud that this nation, we've talked about that for years, mm-hmm. the wasteful money and the fraud that you people are spending. Even you Democrats, you pay taxes too. You're hardworking Americans. You pay a lot of taxes. And he talked about the fraud and these Democrats. He talked about insider trading, and the camera was showing Pelosi, Blumenthal, Elizabeth Warren, the people who are worth 70 to 100 million. Mm-hmm. Pelosi, 200 million because of it. He talked about that. But I think one of the most pivotal moments last night, he was actually, I believe, setting up the battle for the midterm.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Of what our vision is, where they want to go, and what their vision is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he talked about American people and the security for our families and our nation. And he said, no matter who's in office, it should be the number one priority of any leader is to keep our people safe, our borders secure, and protect the United States of America. And he said, if you support that, you should stand and cheer. And the Democrats did not stand and cheer for that. And right away, I'm thinking to myself, that is a campaign shot.
Yes, it is.
They're going to play that quote, and they're going to show these people who are running for office sitting on their hands with their F Trump stickers on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you couldn't stand for that. They didn't stand for the American war heroes that were honored. They gave away Purple Hearts, Medal of Honors, above and beyond the call of duty for any average citizen. Folks, when somebody jumps down out of a helicopter and saves you, if you're swimming or you're drowning, do you ask them first if they're a Republican or a Democrat?
No.
If you're a Republican, you can't save me? No. No, you don't. Emergency personnel in these hospitals that were saving the lives of these people, you don't ask them. So you should stand together. None of us ask that question from a policeman, a firefighter, none of them. You know all these people that throw snowballs at policemen like they did yesterday in New York City?
Oh.
Or prevent firemen from getting into a building that they set fire? You know who they call when their building catches on fire?
Mm-hmm.
You chicken ass. You're the first. You call them and expect them to respond.
Those cops in that snowball thing yesterday showed amazing restraint.
Yes. And Mondani doesn't want to go after the people who threw them.
He said it looks like a snowball fight to me.
Yeah. That's assault.
Folks, if you weren't thankful that you don't live in New York before.
Yeah.
Because they are just getting started with that nut job up there.
Yeah. It's crazy. But a nation as a whole, overwhelming majority. We support our military heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We support our firefighters and policemen. We do all that. But they didn't support any of them last night. It was a real contrast. I mean, he kept pointing them out, giving them an opportunity to show that you have some sense, some common sense, some camaraderie with your other members. And they did not. Anti-Trump all the time.
No matter what.
No matter what. No matter if it's country, no matter if it's people, citizens, nothing. That's where they're at. And you know what, folks? This is your party now. Look what they... You don't think they're ruthless? They eat their young. Look what they did. Look what they did to Joe Biden. Joe Biden won the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
Our system, our structure, set up. He won. Those flesh-eating monsters saw him in that debate, saw that America finally saw his cognitive skills and ability to carry on a sentence and keep a thought, of which they had covered his ass for 4 years, kept it away because they control the media, kept it away from America, and they finally saw it. So what did they do? They didn't care about the process. They didn't care about 250 50 years of how we do things. They threw him over the boat with an anchor around his neck and put in place the person they wanted.
In a blink of an eye.
Not the person the people picked, but the person they wanted. Folks, I really believe that they do not like the system. They don't like the fact that we have a Congress and it has to go through the House and the Senate and the President. They don't like it. They don't like that system at all. Look what they've done with the government shutdown. They don't control Congress and the Senate now. Now, they did for years and years, got a lot of stuff passed, Obamacare, all that. That's how it works. Great. Hey, whether we liked it or not, that's how the system worked, and they gave it to us. They don't like the system. They don't like the funding going to protecting our borders, ICE, Homeland Security. They don't like it. So what did they do? They're not using the law. They're not using any congressional procedures to stop it. What they've used is a government shutdown, and they're holding you hostage.
Yes, that's right.
They don't care about the process. That's what they're doing. They did it last time when they shut the government down. Nobody can even remember why they shut it down last time. This time, they're shutting it down for Homeland Security. If they want to defund them, if they want to cut their power, if they want to give them new authority or less authority, you do that through Congress. Nope, they don't like that system. So they're shutting down TSA pre-checks in airports. Money for Homeland Security. You know FEMA? FEMA is funded through Homeland Security Department.
Okay.
All these storms and stuff in the Northeast, they get FEMA money to help. There's no FEMA money right now.
Ooh, bad timing.
Bad timing. So last night was a night of contrast between the two parties, honoring war heroes, medals of valor, Purple Heart recipients, and they can't stand. They could not stand. But the last 250-300 words about America will give you chills. And I'm going to read it today at the end of email. No Trump all the time. Don't give him a win. We don't care how much good it does for you as a citizen, an American, a hardworking family. We don't care. We are not going to give that man a win if we can stop it. You want some more evidence of it? I'll give you this one. This is just crazy. And nobody heard about this yesterday. We talked a little bit about it during news. There was a bill in Congress, NTSB. There's a system they've been recommending for airplanes since 2008. It's an early warning system in an airplane. Pretty easy thing. They can put them in all the aircraft. It would have prevented the mid-air collision that happened in Washington, D.C. a few years ago that killed those 67 people.
Okay.
It would have warned the airplane and the helicopter about their collision course. They crashed, killed 67. They had a lot of families yesterday holding pictures of their loved ones who were just on an airplane going somewhere, minding their own business, and they were killed, dead, gone. Loved ones, children, husbands, wives. This bill would have required all aircraft to be equipped with a system that would give them the data and location of another aircraft. Pretty common sense safety.
Yeah.
To avoid any type of tragic mid-air collisions. Locator systems, right? Everybody, yeah, that's a good idea. I fly. Mark flies. You people fly. We want to be as safe as we can when we're in that airplane. The bill had already passed the Senate, and the aircraft would have been equipped with a system to get data about the other aircraft. Families of the victims were there watching the house yesterday, watching them work. They had pilots there, people from the airlines there, trying to get this bill passed. And guess what the House did yesterday? They didn't pass the bill. The House did not pass that bill yesterday. Why? Because President Trump's our president.
God.
And we don't want to give him any wins, especially something like that, where most Americans would be in favor of that.
Yeah, everybody who flies would be.
Yes. House didn't pass it yesterday. No, they needed to get those votes, and they couldn't get the votes. Speaker of the House said they're going to try again. Mike Johnson said, we're not going to let this die. We've got to do it. I mean, it's common sense. We've had 18 years to get this right. The cost has been a concern for some. It's not clear how much it would cost, but it doesn't matter. American Airlines, they've already equipped some of their planes with it. Cost about $50,000 to do it. And
neon sign buzzing, lighting up the night. Huntley, Montana, under a sky so tight. Boots on the floor, dust in the air. The Blue Cat's calling, everybody's there. The Blue Cat Bar and Grill, that's where it's at. Cold beer flowing and a jukebox track. Laughter's loud and the stories spill. Life feels right at the Blue Cat Bar.
Bar and Grill.
The Blue Cat Bar and Grill, just 9 miles past the Metro Park exit.
The House bill also covered many more aspects of systemic failures that the NTSB identified that caused that crash. Everybody argued this bill is a good first step to adding additional safety for Americans who fly. They didn't vote for it. The House didn't vote for it. Why? No wins for Trump, no matter what the cost is for America. They don't care. Do not give that man a victory on anything. Anything whatsoever. Nothing. And they didn't pass that bill yesterday, which is crazy. Crazy. You know, one thing the president did last night, too, is even with some of the Supreme Court justices there, he called them out on that tariff ruling. And the major legal experts said it was a mistake, and actually the president anyway can use other court-tested rules, regulations, procedures to impose tariffs, if not greater than the ones he already has, that's already been tested in court. So he has other options. And the president talked about it. Talked about how many billions of dollars the tariffs are bringing in, and it was funny because I was getting the on this day in history stuff that happened on this date, and what is today, the 25th, yeah, February 25th. Oh, John's birthday today.
Yeah,
my son, happy birthday, John. But let's
say it again later when he's up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. You know it. Yeah, not even close. But on this date, folks, this is kind of a interesting thing. On this date, February 25th, 1913, Congress passed the 16th Amendment. And the 16th Amendment created a federal income tax. Yep. On this date, it created a federal income tax. Up until that point, there was no federal income tax. You know what paid all the nation's bills? Tariffs.
Interesting.
Washington, Jefferson, all of them. They all knew.
Was the president assassinated in the media because of tariffs?
Tariffs. Tariffs up until 1913 paid all of our nation's bills. And in 1913, they had the votes they needed, and they passed the federal income tax law, the 16th Amendment, and you've been paying more and more ever since. The president mentioned last night the tax cuts, the extra money in people's pockets now. We've all seen it. Mark and I noticed it right away. The first check in January was bigger because of the tax cuts. None of them stood. No tax on waitresses and servers in America working their ass off for tip money, not having to pay income tax, federal income tax on that. Social Security recipients, the oldest of our populations who are getting towards the end, not having to pay on amounts of Social Security that they take in, not having to pay taxes on a lot of the overtime that you're working anyway to make ends meet. Not one of them stood. Not one of them. They don't care.
No.
It's about them and their party and their power, and they are not going to give that man a victory, and they are not going to even acknowledge that he's president. Won't even do it. It's awful. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I stood up and applauded Bill Clinton back in 1992 when he gave his State of the Union address, and he talked about securing our nation's border, and we cannot let unchecked individuals come into this country, and we have to do more to secure it, make sure they are vetted, make sure they assimilate. That was Bill Clinton in 1992, and everybody stood up and applauded that. They won't. It's crazy. But I mean, it's crazy, but it's sad. It's sad for our nation and sad for the American people, especially something like that air collision safety bill.
Cut off your nose to spite your face.
There is just no way any human being at all could possibly be against it. But it failed. It failed. Crazy stuff. And you know, it's bad timing too last night for people who are anti-closed borders. They want everybody to come in as much as they can. If you've watched Mexico over the past week with the drug cartels burning, bombing, setting gas stations on fire, you listened to the speech last night about the fentanyl reduction, the lowest murder rate we've had, and now you got all that hell breaking loose in Mexico. How could you possibly stand there and say, we shouldn't have any security at our border? We should be, don't worry about it. If they want to come in, let them. If the drug cartels get in, that's fine. No problem. No biggie. Now you know why. He had the little girl there last night.
I saw that one.
That was brutally injured when that illegal immigrant got a CDL license. Could read signs, couldn't speak English, nothing. Killed, what, two or three people in the family? Destroyed that little young girl. She's on the road to recovery, but she'll never be the same.
Right.
And she was there last night, and they didn't stand for her. They didn't stand for her. Why? Because it all goes back to border policy.
It does.
Are these people human? Do they have any feelings at all? I've gone to countless funerals for people who are Democrats. I disagreed with them politically, and yet I grieved for them when they died.
Right.
What human wouldn't? They don't. That's the state we're in right now. 250 years old this year. And look at the Roman Empire. They lasted 500 years. And they destroyed themselves from within. And hopefully that doesn't happen here. But I'm telling you, the last 250, 300 words of that speech should resonate with every American out there. And I'm going to read it this morning at the end of our email segment. A couple other things I wrote on here. Oh, they were talking about the storm in the Northeast. And this storm, folks, now all the other ones that have hit for the last 25 years up there that bring all this heavy snow and stuff, they're all called nor'easters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got rid of that. You know, just like we remember, now we have atmospheric rivers.
Uh-huh.
We don't have the Pineapple Express anymore.
Right.
This was a bomb cyclone.
For God's sake.
It wasn't a nor'easter. It was a bomb cyclone.
It was a big snow.
Yeah. Bomb cyclone. So, but they're all cleaning up there. And getting that taken care of. And there's no FEMA money for emergency. That's what FEMA does. You know, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, all that kind of stuff. FEMA helps. No FEMA money. They got that department shut down. No FEMA money. And you know, folks, too, a lot of this backlash, a lot of the anger, angst, protest, burning, looting, all that, all comes from, there's a few. But these are kids between the ages of 19 and 24 on the street,
mm-hmm.
cover their face with masks. They never asked them to remove their mask, only our ICE agents.
That's right.
And I was thinking about that last night. You know, one reason, too, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. They weren't taught what we were all taught. They teach them differently now.
Yes, they do.
If you go to a middle school or a high school civics class, social studies class, you would be surprised. It would open your eyes if you knew how the kids thought. Okay, and look at these protesters. Say they're 20, say they're 19 to 24. That means their parents are probably anywhere from 39 to 50.
Yeah.
Okay, say they're 40. 40 years ago. What year was 40 years ago? That was, what, 2016? Or, no, let's see, it'd be 2026 and 14. 14 from 100 is 86. Yeah, that'd be, holy cow. These people were born in anywhere from 1976 to 1980, and their kids are the ones out there that are going crazy. Just think of that. They were born in 1986. They're 40 now.
Right.
I was here in 1986. A lot of these kids that are 21 years old, folks, 22. 9/11 was 25 years ago. They didn't even live through 9/11. They have no idea about 9/11. These protesters, they have no idea. Half of them even weren't here yet. All of us, though, are who we are because of the era we were brought up, the times, and our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main influences. We are all who we are. Some say I'm my father's son. Some say Mark is his father's son.
Very much.
We are all who we are. We are who we are, how we were raised, how we were educated. Can you imagine, folks, when we all went to school, civics and history class, if our teachers would have been telling us that when the president speaks at the State of the Union address, when they talk about the safety of American people and how important it is as a nation to sit on your hands, show your angst, wear F Trump stickers on your shirt. Can you imagine them?
No.
Now they tell them, express yourself. Let your views be known. Protest the streets. Barbara Boxer. Raise your fist. Get in their face. Can you imagine that? It's crazy. But it's the influence that has shaped the people. And of course, the media influence and social media influence. We started the hour talking about that McKnown guy who had a song that was liked on TikTok, and we play him now on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Influence.
Yeah.
These kids, they see that, they read it, they have teachers that tell them that, they have parents that don't care one way or the other. It's influenced them. They can't help but to be that way.
You're right.
Because what has been presented to them and what they've been exposed to. And it's part of the times. But, as I mentioned before, no matter how you feel about the administration, the president, the country, the direction we're going, our system, if you hear the last 250 to 300 words of the president's speech last night, it should make you think. That's what it was intended to do. Make you think, make you realize where you're at, what country you're in, and how much better off you are because of it. And I'm going to read it at the end of our email segment.
Okay. Well, we'll get to First News. That's coming up quarter after six.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Events Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat. It's where it's at.